This morning's reading is, as I said before, one of those that you don't hear too often. And in the light of the prayers we spoke about this morning, generosity, and in light of the situations that we find ourselves in daily, I thought it would be very appropriate as a meditation, just as a meditation. There's an article in this morning's paper, Tracy O'Shaughnessy, who you know is a friend of mine, and Tracy writes an article about being able to admit that we're wrong. And she starts off with Stephen Hawking's, you know, the brilliant man who made a few mistakes in his career and was able to talk about his mistakes. And the point of the article, it's a wonderful article, the point is very simple, is that when we learn from our mistakes, we grow and become more ourselves. We need to admit, first of all, that we make mistakes, that we aren't always right, in order to pass that threshold where somehow we can grow and become more and more the people that we really want to become. And in this divided nation at this point, it's a powerful message. But this is from 2 Corinthians, Paul, writing to the Corinthians. This was a very wealthy, wealthy community, but it also had its problems. Not the least of which is they were being kind of surrounded by a lot of the Greek philosophies, and a lot of questions were being raised about what they believed and what they didn't. But also there's a hint here that this is the first time that the early church community acts as the modern church communities do. And he's asking the people of Corinth to contribute to the church in Jerusalem, the community in Jerusalem, because they're undergoing some real hardships. And Corinthians, you know what it's like to go through hardships. And you know that you've been blessed generously by God. So bless some of the other people in the world as well. It's the first missionary collection taken in the first century. This is Corinthians chapter 8. We want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that has been granted to the churches of Macedonia. For during a severe ordeal of affliction, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For as I can testify, they voluntarily gave according to their means, and even beyond their means, begging us earnestly for the privilege of sharing in our ministry to the saints. And this not merely as we expected. They gave themselves first to the Lord, and by the will of God to us, so that we might urge Titus that as he has already made a beginning, so he should also complete this generous undertaking among us. Now, as you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in the generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this manner, I'm giving my advice. It is appropriate for you who began last year not only to do something, but even to desire to do something, now finish doing what it is that you so eagerly undertook. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you, but it is a question of a fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be for your need, in order that there may be a fair balance. As it is written, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. But thanks be to God for the gifts set before us. The word of St. Paul. I didn't plan on preaching, but I can't let the opportunity go by without a thought. And it's just a thought. Throughout history, human development has generated more and more and more possibilities for the human person in all of its dimensions, whether it's individual or a family or a community or a society or a state or a nation or the world itself. There have always been new possibilities coming because what we believe is we've been gifted with the talents that God has given us to serve the rest of the world. Our gifts, remember, that our hours are not given to us to hoard. Our gifts of talents and abilities are the things we use to assist and serve our brothers and sisters. That's basic Christianity, but it's also basic humanity. Because if you look back over the whole of the centuries, perhaps a few are exceptions to this. But most societies are built on an economic system that somehow makes it better to be wealthy and not to be poor. Better to have opportunities than not to have opportunities at all. Better for the big common good that there be a pocket of wealth, even though the pocket of wealth is owned by some and not by all. That's not something that happens by nature. Because if you look at the more aboriginal tribes, the ones who still exist very rarely and very few, down in the Amazon jungle, the aborigines out in Australia and New Zealand, people whose lives have yet to be touched by modern civilization or even enlightenment, you find societies where everybody is treated as family. However large the town gets, however large the tribe expands, everybody belongs. The only hierarchy that there is that someone is the ultimate decider over what is good and not good, what is helpful for the community and what is not. And where everything that is done, produced by hand, farmed, grown, slaughtered, hunted, whatever, is shared by all equally. That's the aboriginal model. The Amish in our time probably come closest to that, although they too have made some adaptations because culture has kind of closed in around their little areas of community. And yet they are stalwart in holding forth to basically that we are here for each other. And everything about us is about each other. And there is no facet of life on their community property that is not about all of them. That being said, there is no way to unwind and undo 50,000 years of civilization and development. There's no way to do that. However, questions can be asked, and I think thought given too. The things that bother us the most when we talk about these things. Unfortunately, when we start talking about the haves and the have-nots, or the 1% and the 85% and the ones, et cetera, all those dichotomies around us, it usually goes into an emotional kind of thing, emotional reaction, because each one of us has our own fief. You know, I worked hard to get where I am. As high or as low as it is, this is mine. And mine is very important, absolutely. And we are tugged on the other side by our faith that says, you know, basically, as I just said, naturally and by Christian teaching, we are about each other, without exception. Now, I know Christianity has many flavors today, and you'll find many flavors of Christianity saying something less than that ideal. But we are here together. We are accepting of everybody. There is no exception to what can come through our door that needs help, concern, and support that they will not find here. Can't be. We subscribe to that. But we're dealing with some major, major issues that are global and issues that legally are being challenged. And we're depending on people who are in power to decide basically the direction of the world, not just the nation, not just the state, the world, because it is a world community. And we are no longer have the, benefit of saying, but that doesn't include us. It is us. We are part of the world community. And what is happening around us should, I think, give us pause. Not that we have an answer. Not that we know the fix. Not that it's going to be simple or easy. That's not the point. The point is, if I wrestle within myself about what it is I really believe and what it is I really hold to, and then try to apply it to our culture, I may find myself somewhat in conflict. And somewhat in conflict could generate a whole lot of things. Picking up the newspaper, we may see injustice pouring off the front page, but it has nothing to do with us directly. And it's bigger than us, so there's nothing we can do. Or we may turn on the television and find a 5-minute film about decrying some of the situations some of our brothers and sisters live in, not necessarily around the world, right here among us. The recent shooting, for example. Whoever would have thought? That could have happened right downtown. It could happen right here in Bethlehem. Because the story is real. But one of the things we have to, brothers and sisters, we have to always remember that we are not talking about poverty versus wealth. We are not talking about despot versus democracy. We're not talking about justice versus injustice. We're talking about people. These are people. Immigrants, aliens, they are people. And sometimes our politics or our sense of justice or our anger about somehow being abused by those who abuse the system drives us to a place where we don't see these as people. And so the humanity goes right out the window and we end up playing ping pong with our policies and with who's right and who's wrong. And nobody are coming up with a solution. The problem of poverty in the world is fixable. I'm not saying that because I'm dreaming. It's been shown again and again that working together, the people of this world could find enough food to feed everybody. There is already enough food. It just can't be distributed because of cost, etc. But we can't let people live in inhumane conditions, like, for example, Puerto Rico, 10 months after the hurricane, there are still people that don't have running water, potable water, and electricity. Citizens, by the way, of the United States. There are people living in conditions, brothers and sisters, that get written off because somebody is making policy, or a Congress is making laws, or the Supreme Court is making judgments, and forgetting that these are people. How would you feel? And I thought about this. My grandson's now in Beijing. There was a bus crash yesterday in Beijing. And the first thing I thought of is, what if he was on a tour and was killed in Beijing? What if my granddaughter, who's working at a summer camp up in Pittsfield, goes on a trip to Canada with her group, which she's supposed to, and somehow disappears in Canada? What would I feel like if my grandchildren somehow were exposed to sex trafficking, the stuff that's on the web, being lured into business deals that could ruin their lives, somehow not having what they need to maintain a level of dignity in their lives where they become so despondent that they too find a way out through suicide? What must it feel like for a child not to see his mother or father for one day? I was in the hospital when I was 6. I stupidly jumped off a porch and broke my arm. And it was broken in so many pieces, they had to, didn't use screws back then. I don't know what they did, but it works. But I have 3 joints. They did a good job. And I was terrified. I did not sleep that night because all I could hear was the carts coming down the hall and wondering if that was the machine that was going to come and do something to me that was going to hurt, and I would never see my parents again. I was never going to go home again. I did not sleep the whole night. It was biggest, longest terror of my life. I cannot imagine knowing my grandchildren when they were 2 and 3 ever being separated from their parents, ever. That's policy gone amok. These are people. Would you want your child in that situation? Of course not. But what do? We have to find our own response. But more than anything else, I think, brothers and sisters, without carrying on, the world was, we believe this, if the world was created somehow by a God, and if indeed Jesus revealed something about God and God's answer to human beings, consider how far removed we are today from where we might be. And let us remember always that the situations that presently exist in the world exist because people created them. And if so, people are responsible to change them. And if so, probably I may have to go back and figure out, you know, maybe I said something that really was a mistake. And maybe I directed somebody in a direction that pushed them in that place, and that was wrong. Or maybe what the other person is saying does have some merit. Maybe there is another truth. And I have to ask myself, am I big enough to admit that I don't know everything? That there's always room for the growth? It's just a thought, and it's too hot. Amen.